Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening for July 2nd, Wednesday, 2014. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Hunter.
Good evening, Dr. Kelly. I have the motivation with momentum.
Oh, good. Well, you come to the right night then.
I'm ready for the show.
And we'd like to welcome everyone listening to the live program, Metaphysical Universe Radio, as well as those listening to the archives. We also welcome Michael Kelly here behind the scenes, manning the phones, waiting for the flood of phone calls that we're bound to receive. You know, we've just got to do something controversial, you know, and then the phones won't stop ringing. Anyway, but we're glad you could join us tonight. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism, formerly MCHS Church. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. Among our educational programs are metaphysicsinstitute.org, where you can get your master's, bachelor's, and doctoral degrees, but not necessarily in that order. In metaphysics, spiritual counseling, life coaching, paranormal-related stuff, holistic healing, a number of different aspects. We also operate the International College of Humanistic Science, ICHSWorld.org, where you can take standalone courses, get certifications and such things as spiritual counseling, life coaching, and others. And so if you're interested in any of those, take a look because they will change your life. Before we get into our main topic tonight, we want to do our profession of beliefs because it's the healthiest spiritual philosophy on the planet. And we have 9 principles of belief, which are, number 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. We invoke and exert the counselor and guru within. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit, enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these 9 principles of belief, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. All right, so last week we talked about motivation. And Dr. Hunter is going to tell us everything there is to know about motivation in one sentence.
That's funny. Well, you know, it's really quite simple. We went through the live your dream, feeling good, believing in yourself and the value that you offer, and to the greatest extent possible, do not allow yourself to be, encumbered by problems. And, of course, about what your hunger is. Then we went into number six is believe you will gain benefits. That's really important. And number seven, continue to gain knowledge and experience. And number eight, lose the fear. So those were the 8 points of motivation that we covered last week.
And those are good points.
Now, actually, you know, they were. Anybody who missed that show last week, go back in the archives and have a listen, because they really are valuable points to understanding what motivation really is and what's required to be motivated. So it's worth the time if you haven't listened, after this show, go have a listen to the archives. So tonight we're going to take into that second part, which is the gaining momentum.
Yes. And that's what we're going to pick up on, how to keep your momentum.
Boy, we just don't have any right now. See, this is a perfect example of how we can get kind of not on track and how easy it is to get distracted.
That's easily explained. That's because I'm got many puppet strings going on here.
You're multitasking, see? Yep. But the momentum is you're running a show, but... You see, and this is a really good example of how certainly I do. When I'm on my momentum, I can easily get sidetracked into some little, I was calling like traveling in the suburbs when I should stay on the gridline of the city. You know, because you lose your momentum. And I often have these little visuals painted in my head, too, of how people in the suburbs make these little cul-de-sacs. I don't know who invented that kind of, The engineering of cul-de-sacs is absolutely absurd. And then the people who live in cul-de-sacs get upset because nobody can find their address.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of momentum in going around in circles, don't you?
See, that's the point, to get back into the grid. You know, can we just have, like, you know,
I want off-grid, man. I want off-grid.
Straight lines to have momentum.
All right.
But, you know, this is the whole point.
So. Stay away from cul-de-sacs.
That's right.
All right. Let's talk about gaining momentum, okay? Obviously, momentum is important to motivation. You of course, got to get motivated, and then you will gain your momentum, which I'm not doing yet, but I will. You watch. So here's what we're going to do. I've got several little points with lessons. I'm going to draw on some examples on space program and so forth and talk about some related examples and then draw them to the idea of gaining momentum. So let's start. Now, if you're old enough, you may remember July 20th, 1969, and where you were.
No.
And that is the day that Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walked on the moon for the first time in history.
Ah, I remember. Now I do.
And I was watching that on black and white TV in Vancouver, Canada, and I was 10 years old. But I still remember watching. We were waiting for it to come on, and we were in a trailer park at a religious convention that was 8 days long. Whole different story. Anyway, it was broadcast on live to the world. It was fascinating, and I'm glad I had an opportunity to see that because it filled my imagination with exciting possibilities. It was an amazing accomplishment for humankind. It really was. And when you think about the Saturn V rocket, I mean, it's so tall, and it took so much to get it off the pad, and that's just a story in and of itself. But 12 years later, the first shuttle was launched, and that was a spring, April 12th, 1981, which I also watched on TV, and that was from Sturgis, South Dakota, where I was going and getting my education in electronics way back in the day. Now, as Columbia lifted off, I was again amazed at the power involved to overcome Earth's gravity and send it into orbit. It was a beautiful machine. And too bad they discontinued it, but that's another story too. So let's compare the power necessary to lift a rocket into orbit with that of lifting ourselves into the orbit of success in life. And with this in mind, we're going to examine and compare the two, that is space and reaching our own orbit, and note the lessons contained in them. Let's talk about the first point here, facts and lessons on momentum. First one is inertia. For the shuttle to leave the ground, it must overcome inertia. Sir Isaac Newton's first law of motion describes inertia. It says that a body at rest tends to remain at rest, and a body in motion tends to keep moving in the same speed and in a straight line. So in order to move a resting body, or to stop a moving body for that matter, an external action called a force is required. The tendency of a body to remain at rest or to remain in motion is called inertia. So this is what we're going to talk about. Inertia is of a body is related to its mass. The more massive a body is, the more energy it's going to take to get it moving or to stop it. Let's talk about getting it moving. In order to achieve the necessary momentum, the space shuttle, which weighed over 4.5 million pounds at liftoff, had to develop about 7 million pounds of thrust. And again, it makes sense because the more mass that's involved, the more force that's required to move it. So what's the lesson in this? In our lives, we also must overcome inertia to achieve success. That's just basic. And it will quite likely require unusual effort in the beginning to launch our dream. But there's no other way around this. And a lot of folks get discouraged in a new business. It could be a metaphysical practice of some sort, spiritual counseling, life coaching, because it takes work. It just does. And you can't get around that fact. So just accept it, deal with it, and keep going. If your dream is to start a metaphysical practice, a ministry, or some other type of business, it's going to take extraordinary effort in the first few years. Again, it just is what it is. You got to just accept it and go with it. Once you've supplied that initial thrust of hard work, then less effort is required to maintain your momentum after that. However, if you never provide that initial thrust, or if your effort is less than enough, then you're not going to realize your goal. If you've been unmotivated in the past, you've got to now determine what truly excites and motivates you so that you can blast off in the right direction. By going through the process of identifying your true motivations and potential solutions to realizing them, you can begin to build up the necessary thrust to get off your launch pad. By resolving or continuing your efforts, you will work up the momentum and it will see you through your objective. So that's kind of the example and then the lesson, overcoming an inertia. Let's put it into practical terms. And Vicki, anytime you've got a point, jump in.
Well, you know, I mean, the only point I would have is I know exactly what you're talking about, is you can think and think and think and think about something, and then you've got to get up off your butt.
Yeah, well put.
You know, and then you go do it. So.
And this, there's a lot of examples we could relate here. One that I want to bring up, is hopefully our students are listening. We have a lot of students around the world, and you know what? A lot of times it's easy to get distracted from your studies. One thing after another comes up. You know, life's busy. People have problems. They have all kinds. It's just anything you can think of gets in the way. Distractions, this, that, and the other thing. But you've got to remain focused on your end goal, your objective. Don't let life get in the way. Don't let life keep you from achieving your dream. And it's really about the dog wagging the tail, not the tail wagging the dog, as the expression goes. You've got to manage your time, manage your life so that you can achieve your goals. And so if you have the goal of, and so many do, of spiritual counseling, life coaching, or whatever it happens to be, holistic healing, paranormal related stuff, whatever it is, if you have that goal and you enrolled in the degree program, don't lose sight. Yes, you can get distracted at times. Yes, you can get off track at times. Use this opportunity to get back on track. Reaffirm your goals. Reaffirm your dreams. Reaffirm your objectives. Reaffirm what you want to do and take some steps to get back on that. And that's what this program tonight is addressing. Launch. You know, you've got to use some effort. It's going to take effort. Anytime you do something new, it's uncomfortable at first until it becomes a habit, right? You got to just go through that. Just accept that it's going to take a little work. And it's just, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, let's go to the next point on momentum, and that's stage technology. You know, with most current and past space vehicles, stage technology has been required to get the ship up into orbit. With the space shuttle, you got two solid rocket boosters. They provide most of the thrust for the first 2 minutes of flight, that is, actually some 5.8 million pounds combined. Once they're used up, they get jettisoned off and fall into the ocean. And after this, the primary engines continue to carry the shuttle the rest of the way, fueled by that large external fuel tank. Again, because of inertia, much more force is required to get the shuttle off the ground. But once it's going, and after those two solid boosters finish up, you know, not as much force is required to keep it going. But without stage technology, the vehicle wouldn't reach orbit. So what's the lesson to our own dreams and accomplishments, our own momentum?
I can say this, what I also heard in there is like once you're blasting off and you're getting into orbit, you're going to shed the garbage that you don't need. You know, that we think that we have this whole package deal and we're moving forward, but perhaps there are some ideas that we had that just don't fit into the dream, but we don't know that till we get there. Once we're in orbit, then we say, oh, I don't need these. Like, so kind of like life skills. You know, we have really good life skills, and then we don't need those anymore because we're learning other skills, if that makes any sense.
Well, good analogy. But good life skills are keepers, but there's a lot of unnecessary junk in our core values that could be jettisoned. And that's an excellent analogy. I'm glad you caught that. All right, so what's the lesson? As we launch our dreams, our success will go in stages. This is just the way it is. It's life. When you get to a certain level of success, we've got to build on that success to get us to the next level. So how do we build on our successes? You know, what if we feel like we have no successes to build on? Well, that's just not true. We all have successes. Here's a story from my own experience. When I was in my late teens, my dad told me that I should wisely use the next 10 years or so to educate myself and gain career experience because he said a person's 20s, especially, are largely a waste. Not going to set the world on fire during your 20s, at least most of the time. And I found this to be very true. You know, wisely use that time to prepare for later years. Now, obviously, not everybody listening to this program is in their 20s, but you get the idea. There, and if you are, then all the better. Use that time to educate yourself and to get ready for when you will set the world on fire. And that is going to come later. Think about it. If you're past it, you know, if you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, especially 60s later, think about during those times, you know. Those 20s and 30s are learning. That's where you learn. And that's where you sculpt yourself. That's where you lose some excess baggage, hopefully. That's where you kind of get it and shed some of that stuff that we grew up with. Once you get to your 40s and 50s and beyond, that's when things really can start popping. Now, this is just a rule of thumb. It's not necessarily true in everybody's case, but it's kind of a rule of thumb. So use the time that you have wherever you're at to get to that next stage. You know, as I look back on my time on this planet, over 50 years, you know, every single trial, every adversity, every lesson, every positive event that I've experienced have all been stages. Every victory, every defeat, they've all been stages in my efforts to achieve orbit. And I'll bet you, if you look back on your own experience, you'll say the same. Yes, it's tough to look back on some really tough times and say, well, you know, that had some meaning, it had some benefit. If we really want to lose the emotion, we can understand that that helps shape us. For better or worse, it helps shape us, and hopefully for better. And if we look for the silver lining, if we look for the positive, out of a situation, we can find it, because it will be there. Our adversity may have made us kinder to other people, kinder to animals, kinder, more forgiving. It may have numbed us. That's not good. It may have caused us to hate people. That's not good. You know, there are some benefits that are there. So everything that's happened to you is shaped you, has shaped you.
You know, when I have a visual of a spiral, you know, we're in an orbit, but it's more like a spiral that grows upward, and each of the circles gets a little bit tighter, if you will, you know, because we're shedding stuff and we're kind of getting closer to our true self. So we're kind of traveling that spiral of life.
Yeah, it's kind of like a sculpture, huh? You kind of tweak and adjust.
Yep.
So, you know, as I look back on my business, the businesses that I've had or started or just jobs, whatever, they all had their lessons. They were all stages. And I've told this story before, that I spent all these years, literally decades, preparing for April 2010. Now, that's not the same as December 2012. April 2010 was when I started this organization, initially as MCHS Church. And we just renamed it a couple of weeks ago to the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism, which is another stage, another milestone along the way. That's when everything came together for me. But I could not be here and do what I do if I had not gone through all those stages of success and, you know, adversity and all that. So you have to look at it for what it is, you know.
I think people get into trouble, we all do at some point, when we think that what we're reaching is an absolute. Because when we're looking at the goal and we get there, there's always a disappointment. Like it's never quite what we thought. Because life is those stages. And there has to be always those, I call it the layers of life that goes beyond this goal, there's another goal and another goal.
Good point. And you know what? Sometimes you're going to hit plateaus. That's just part of the process. And sometimes it's going to look like you're going backwards. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit.
Oh, marriages. That did it for me. I was going backwards. Sorry.
Yeah,
I couldn't
you know
resist.
What? But that's not necessarily true, and I'll explain why when we get to that part in a little bit.
All right.
So basically right now we've talked about two things, overcoming inertia and stage technology. You know, we've got to get moving. And we go in stages, we build on one stage after another. The third point is escaping orbit. Unlike the space shuttle, some spacecraft have missions to explore space outside of Earth's orbit, like Voyager probes 1 and 2. They were launched in 1977 and others. They're good examples. Once a spacecraft achieves orbit, it will need to increase its speed to about 7 miles per second or 25,000 miles per hour to escape Earth's gravity. Earth's gravity is used to help accomplish this by using a slingshot technique to launch it into space. So you might say that reaching orbit was just a temporary stop or step along the way to fulfilling its ultimate mission. Think about yourself now. You know, you achieve orbit. You achieve a measure of success in whatever it is you want to do. You put in some hard work. You're cooking along. Question is, are we done yet? And the answer probably is no, not yet, because we can always continue to grow and evolve. And as we do, our core values change a little bit. They get modified, and we have interest in other things, and we want to accomplish other things. So have we really attained all we wanted? Probably not. So we have to use orbit, the orbit we've already achieved, to slingshot us toward future goals, future objectives, further out. And you can do that by building on those successes, by learning the lessons contained in those stages and in your efforts to overcome inertia.
Well, you know, some of us are a little slower than others, Doug. Like, I look back too and I say, you know, I could have learned that in 6 minutes instead of 6 years. You know, like
now,
because there's different parts of ourselves that are evolving, I think, at different rates, don't you?
Yeah, well,
that kind of inhibit our speed, if you will.
That may or may not true, but I know you'll agree with this. I think we all evolve in exactly the time frame that we need to. There is no one time frame, right? It's, we're on our own path. It's absolutely a unique scenario. So, you know, does one person evolve quicker than another? Well, now we're to comparing, you know, and that's not healthy. Basically, we are where we are, and I know you know this. I'm preaching the choir here. I definitely know that.
Yeah.
That we are where we are, and we are perfectly where we are at this one moment right here. You've said that a million times. And we are. That's where we're supposed to be, right here, right now. But that doesn't mean that we can't be somewhere else tomorrow.
I totally agree with that. I think, though, sometimes we do have to push the pause button and say, let's catch up with ourselves, because my momentum is starting to slow down a little bit, and I got to know why. So it's because, like, I'm dragging an emotional part of myself or a mental part of myself, you know, and we have to do that little catch-up so that we're going as a whole being, not just parts of ourselves where we trip and fall and skin our nose.
Mm-hmm. You know? But that's part of the process, too.
That's true. That's true.
You know, that's the cool thing about it. See, that's what's so neat about this. Since we're all on our own path and on our own journey, it doesn't matter what somebody else is doing. It matters not. It only matters where we're at and our attitude along the way. And that's actually the fourth point, adjusting course along the way. Once a space probe has left orbit, its course is set so that it rendezvous with the planet at the right place and time. And this is critical if the mission's to be successful. The interesting thing about this is that if the space probes, like Voyager 1, which has actually left our solar system now, but if it was sent to where the planet is right now, it would miss because the planet's orbit, right? So they have got to send that probe to where the planet will be at the time that it will get there. So they rendezvous.
That's a really interesting point to me.
So
it's like we have a goal, but our goal is set by the knowledge we have today.
Mm-hmm.
When we have to also allow for, you know, where it is in the future. So, well, let's just say somebody plans to buy a house. Let's just use that example.
Okay.
So they you know, kind of take stock of your life right now, take inventory, and you say, okay, if I do this, this, and this, I can buy a house. But, geez, you know, the market's different in 2 years. So mm-hmm. it's to make those allowances for how that target is going to be a little bit different. So there has to be that margin of remaining open-minded.
And that's a good point. And that's actually the next little micro point here. Just because the probe is sent in the right direction initially does not necessarily mean there doesn't have to be course corrections along the way. They might be necessary. Especially if the probe is visiting more than one planet, you might have several different goals ahead of you, different planets, so to speak. So you might need course corrections to get each one. And, of course, these spacecraft use the gravity of the planet as a gravity assist to slingshot them even faster toward their next goal, again, building on previous successes. And so, you know, that's the point here, is that where do you want to be in the future? And that's why one of the techniques we teach is determining your future in advance, you know, or your history, writing your history in advance is the way I put it. And that's what you visualize. You go forward 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, where, you know, you've experienced this milestone, this goal, this objective that you have, and you feel it for all it's worth. You visualize it, and then you work backward. How did you get there? And you try to determine the logical steps that you took. And that's one little tool to help you to determine your next course of action.
You know, if I can just inject this, that I think it's been said by many philosophers over the years that we only dream as big as we think. And part of this journey and keeping a momentum is to allow your journey to go in areas that you had no idea about. And I can speak from my experience that there's no way to say, you know, when I was 18, oh, you know, when I'm 55, I'll be studying metaphysics and getting a degree. It's to keep that open mind that whatever the goal is, that there are many other aspects that can come into play. So I think what does happen is that we emotionally hold on to our environment, our friends, things that are familiar. And we talked about fear, you know, in being the points of motivation. So it's to always check in with those motivational points along the way as we have a momentum, because we can lose it very easily if we want to stay within what's familiar.
Good. You know, so here we are talking about adjusting course along the way, and we combine that with the previous part about escaping orbit and rendezvousing, well, I guess that was this point, rendezvousing with a planet where it will be down the road. So rendezvousing with your goal wherever it will be down the road when you hope to achieve it. Now, let's kind of broaden this just a smidgen. I take my own example. You know, when I was 20, 25, 30, did I ever imagine I would be here where I'm at now with a metaphysics school, with basically a religious organization that I founded, with where all the things I've done in the last 10 years? No.
That's not Jehovah's Witness. When you were 20 or 25, you couldn't have imagined.
No.
Not keeping that allegiance to what you were taught. That's
exactly
an interesting point, you see.
Mm-hmm. It is, because I was on a certain path. However, there were dynamics within me that were in motion that I didn't even realize about being a critical thinker, being a free thinker, being an imaginative thinker, having the how hard can it be type of an attitude.
And studying just, UFOs.
Well, yeah, and broadening your mind, because I was always interested in that stuff. And so I kept going and doing what I thought I was supposed to be doing back in those times. And as I continued to grow, I outgrew that belief system. You know, people, oh, you're too good for us. No, I'm not too good for you. I just simply outgrew that belief system. That's what I did. And I outgrew the belief system, honestly, of my parents and all of my relatives. I could no longer do it. It was just didn't make sense anymore. I was on a path, and I wasn't even sure completely of this path that I was on. But then I went from there, and I started, I always wanted to be a professional speaker, so I immediately started doing that once I left Witness. Got into that, worked at that for several years, developed my concepts, developed empowered recovery for alcoholic relationships. And that's where the Life Leadership Paragon originated. It originated as the Recovery Paragon in empoweredrecovery.com. And I adapted it and broadened it and realized this applies to everything, not just alcoholic relationships. It applies to everything in life. And so I continued to develop that, teaching this to thousands of people around the country for years and developing all these different concepts, and did work in the paranormal field, wrote the CPI course, did all that stuff, investigations. All of this stuff was an intense learning time. I was going through stages and learning and growing. And then, it all hit me in, spring of 2010. It all came together. And I realized, and I had that epiphany, this is why what I've been doing this for. I've always been a teacher, So that's remained constant. But I've always, as a teacher, I've always wanted to grow and broaden my own perspective and learn and evolve. And that really took off, when I hit 40 and left the Witnesses. And I've been going intensely for the last 15 years ever since.
You know, it's just, I think anybody can relate to it at their own level about this evolution in a way of, I just want to make the point of everything is an evolution. Even the school is a part of the evolution, Doug, and how it continues to change. Like now being the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism, you couldn't have known that 4 years ago.
No.
So it's not to think that, okay, you're just going to be in the school of life and there's going to be this one thing that you do. That's not necessarily true. What you're saying is that you've always been a good student and a good presenter and a good teacher throughout all of your life, and that's the thread. But it's always been of some kind of metaphysical venue. So how it all came together was, your particular journey, and everybody else has theirs. It's just...
Yes. But, we also wouldn't be where we are without you and without the students that we have. It all goes into the mix. And honestly, this whole adjustment to renaming MCHS to ISOMH, which is the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism. That, I mean, metaphysical humanism just occurred to me in April. I mean, that's when it hit me, and it's everything fell in place. It's a course correction. It's a substantial. It's probably the biggest, most important thing that this church has done since it started. It really clarifies and defines the belief system, and it's so much more clear and definitive than metaphysical humanistic science, even though it's the same thing.
So it's got its own momentum.
Yes.
It's created its own momentum, mm-hmm. you know, based on its own motivations,
mm-hmm.
if that makes any sense. So if we look at it like it's a company, and we are the caretakers of a company.
Mm-hmm.
So like somebody wants to start their own practice, start their own business, and think of it kind of this way. You have to let that business take its own journey as well and adjust ourselves accordingly.
Things unfold.
And let it breathe between it. You know, it's like, what is my part in this? How can I make it better? Well, you have to listen to the creation. It's mm-hmm. kind of like, to me, it's like doing a painting too. I think I know what I'm going to paint until I get there.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, I'm going to do a tree. Got the tree. You know, I've got the landscape. But, you know, how that all comes together until I'm right in the middle of it, I don't know. It takes on a life of its own.
And that's what you have to do with your path as well. Be open to those concepts, that creative course corrections and things. All right, so let's kind of tie everything up here, wrap things up. We talked about momentum. Let's talk about the law of momentum. This is the way I've put it for many years. And what's the law of momentum? Well, have you ever noticed that things go in cycles? It's like when things go wrong, they often get worse. When they go right, they often get better. You know, we have expressions like when it rains, it pours.
Yep.
So my law of momentum is this simply. When you're down, momentum works to keep you down. When you're up, momentum works to keep you up. And I often adapt that as when you're down, the universe works to keep you down. When you're up, the universe works to keep you up. It's obviously an adaptation of Newton's first law of motion, but it's more relevant to our life. So everything we do is affected by the law of momentum. If you're having a financially poor month, well, you know, too many outflows and not enough inflows, next thing you do, you know, things can start snowballing. Bills not getting paid on time, they incur a late fee, which puts you even further behind. You know, and if you happen to have a check that bounces, well, that's really going to do a number on you, because not only does the business that took the check charge a fee, but the bank does too. And, you know, if you happen to miss it and you get several of those babies, I mean, it can just start racking up the money and really put you behind. One banker many, many years ago told me that overdraft fees accounted for 25% of his bank's annual revenue. So
wow.
A lot of people have that issue. So there's also the positive side of momentum. You know, I've experienced this too. There were times when I thought nothing I could do could go wrong. I mean, luck was on my side, you know, but it wasn't luck. It was the law of momentum. And anytime this occurs, I find that I'm enthusiastic, energized, and doing well as a result. I'll bet you our listeners can identify that. So what exactly is this mysterious law of momentum?
So is a roller coaster its own momentum?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. I hate those roller coasters.
But, you know, that's the thing. Let's bring that out. What makes up the mechanics of this force, this law of momentum? Well, rather than some intelligently directed force, it exists from our own mindset. Yes, you know, life stuff can affect it, yes. But it really boils down to our mindset, that is our belief and deliberate intent and our positivity or negativity, our attitude, our mental paradigms. This being the case, we make our own luck. Yes, there are times that can get us down. Things can get us down. But, you know, as a wise person once said, it's not what happens to you that counts. It's how you react to what happens to you. And that's part of that mindset, part of that luck that you create. And that's how to keep that momentum going, keep it going up. Yeah, you might have some setbacks. And that's, you know, the old expression, what goes up must come down. But that's not necessarily true. You know, we evolve, we grow. That's going up. and you can never go back down. Once you stretch your mind, you can never go back to where it once was. But just because you might have lost your momentum doesn't mean you can't regain it. And also, just because it looks like you've lost your momentum doesn't necessarily mean you have. We talked about that, like a marriage. You know, was it a setback? Well, I don't know. Is it a setback or is it a growth opportunity, a learning opportunity?
Yeah, but I could have learned it in 6 minutes instead of 6 years.
You could have now, but not 6 years ago. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh,
our level
geez.
Of awareness raises with everything. I mean, hindsight's 20/20. We look back and say, oh, my God, why didn't I know that then? In fact, I'm going to reiterate, a student, great student, sharp student, beautiful student, told me a few weeks ago that she was reading some stuff and was just heartbroken because she realized she'd made some mistakes in previous relationships and felt like she just really went the wrong direction, was now taking a setback and was not as far along as she wanted to be. And I told her, absolutely not. Because the very fact that you are aware of this now puts you light years ahead of where you were. This is a necessary part of the evolution. You are actually much further ahead than you were.
And if I can inject this too, just because she might have known that back then doesn't mean to say it still would have been a good match.
Right, but we got to learn those lessons. The same with me. I had the same experiences, you know, or it's very similar. So don't necessarily, if you've got momentum going and you think you've had some setbacks, keep going. They're just speed bumps. They happen. You can get over them. Just maintain that positive attitude. Look for ways to build on it. Don't beat yourself up. Remember, you're perfect just the way you are right here, right now. You're doing the best you can with the knowledge, resources, and experience you have at this moment. Don't fret because you're trying to make yesterday's decisions with today's knowledge. You can only make today's decisions with today's knowledge, not tomorrow or next week's knowledge. So keep going that way.
Being embarrassed for 5 minutes is normal.
Whatever you think. No. Can you get embarrassed? Do you get embarrassed anymore?
Not really. No. But back then, I think that's a normal part of the evolution.
Of course it is.
Is to feel that, oh, man, was I ever stupid, and feel really bad about it. Instead, now I can say, boy, that was stupid. But I have a different tone about it. I have a different attitude about it, and I don't have the same attachment. You know, Shirley MacLaine wrote a beautiful book a couple of years ago called I'm Over All That Now. And I recommend it to anybody because what's important to us then, later as we go through life in these stages, isn't really that important. So, you know, it's just something to think about.
Yep, so that's the whole thing here, you know. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't take things too seriously. Don't take life too seriously. Don't take yourself too seriously. Keep moving forward. You'll continue your momentum, even if you have a speed bump that slows you down momentarily, but not overall. You know, mistakes are part of life, and mistakes are great things because you become more aware than you were before. Therefore, they're not so much a speed bump as they are an evolutionary process. So hopefully this information has been of help to you. Listen to it again if you have to. Give yourself a pat on the back. Just keep moving forward because that's all we can do, folks. We can't just sit around and do nothing and fall by the wayside. That's not what we're here for. You know, keep moving forward.
Great show. Great information. It's really valuable information if people really listen to it and take it to heart.
Since we have talked about metaphysical humanism, I think that next week we're going to talk more exactly what is metaphysical humanism. You've probably heard of humanism, you've probably heard of secular humanism. What exactly is metaphysical humanism? We will discuss it and talk about, honestly, healthiest philosophy, spiritual philosophy on the planet. So, till next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Thanks for joining us tonight. Good night.
Good night.